I'm going to preach at you today. And I pray some folks will get moving. I pray some folks will fear. I pray some folks will realize what the devil's doing today and wake up and stir yourself up. The title of my message is Satan's Computer. You'll understand as we continue. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 31 is my text. They that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. They that use this world as not abusing it. God calls us to use some of the things of this world. There's some things that we ought not touch. There's some things that even if you got to get rid of an eye, it's better to get rid of an eye. And an eye is a pretty useful thing, but not if it becomes a stumbling block to where you're going to spend the coming kingdom. You understand that? There's things that we ought to get rid of if it becomes a stumbling block, if it becomes a danger, if it causes you to abuse this world. Dear Lord, we do pray You'll bless this sermon. We do pray that every person will evaluate themselves soberly, will take a look at where they're at, Lord, will understand the time is short. They'll understand that we're all going to be judged. Every Christian must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, the time is wasting. Make not provision for the flesh. You command us. Set no wicked thing before our eyes. Lord, we do ask that You'll help some fathers wake up and realize what the devil wants to do to their family. In the name of Jesus, we ask that Your Spirit will have Your way in this sermon. Amen. Amen. There are some things that you ought not touch. You ought to abstain from them. When I tell you what, that wine starts moving around in the cup, when it gets fermented, when it becomes alcoholic, you need to not even look at it. We have situations where you are not to have moderation. You're just to get away from stuff. Then there's other things that you might be able to handle, but maybe for you, maybe how the devil is working so hard in this day and age, it might be something that you need to just stay away from in your house. There's some things that I wish hadn't even been invented. There's some things that I don't think were any better. We might be able to use them. We can use them for good. But just really when you look at what's going on and how the devil's using it, we're really not getting anywhere. You understand? People might say, well, it's pretty hypocritical to preach a sermon, put it out here over the computer. You got computer notes. I believe we can use technology, but I'm telling every single person that you better evaluate your house. You better evaluate what the devil is doing in your life. And I tell you what, I do believe that there's a lot of people that need to just kick the computer right out of their house. You understand that? There's a lot of people that need to just get rid of these little iPhone gadgets and all this stuff. Because what you're going to do is you're going to end up going to hell with it. You understand that? You're going to end up in the flesh with it. Your children are going to end up hurt morally. Your house is going to end up broken. And I tell you what, you got your little gadget and you're so excited about it, but you're going to look back and realize that brought down my house. Satan used that to bring my house down. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. You know, there's not a single son of Noah that was not made upright. You know, Adam was made upright. They were fallen by the time you get to Noah. But I'm telling you that every son of Noah had a high degree of civilization at one time, and then they fell. You understand that? Every single nation falls. And one of the ways they fall is they have sought out many inventions. You better just think about that for a moment. They've sought out many inventions. You know what man does? He takes what God has created and he begins to put it together. And then he gets something working, gets a little spark out of it. And all of a sudden, he begins to use it for sin. You know that? You know, Thomas Edison had barely got the motion picture thing working. Before you know it, they were using it for perversion. I'm talking about Thomas Edison's company. The very thing. Once he got that little thing working, it was not a few years. They were already sending out perversion. It got so bad that they had to end up with some type of code to try to stop the perversion that man. They said, we're destroying our country. We'll talk about that a little bit in a moment. Genesis 11, the Lord looked down and said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." Do you know God did not... Where's everybody going? You know, God did not consider it to be a good thing that they have all of this power and technology? Man looks at it like it's some great, wonderful thing. God looks down and says they're just going to use it for sin. Nothing will be restrained. I believe that Tower of Babel was satanically inspired. You know, the devil wants to exalt himself up above the stars of God. He wants to be like the Most High. But I do believe that there was some satanic, devilish contact with spirits going on. I believe that tower was not only a tower to heaven, but I believe somehow or another they were trying to get in touch with spirits, and there was some demonic communications going on. And I believe God looked down and realized, if I don't scatter them all over the earth and hinder their communication, they're going to end up hurting themselves. They're going to end up seeking out many inventions, and nothing will be restrained. They'll be able to do all kinds of unseemly things with technology. And God said, "I'm just going to hinder man." See, man looks at it like, "We're progressing. We're progressing." God looks at it, "You're just going to hurt yourself. We need to scatter. We need to hinder your progress." See, Ephesians 2, I tell you what, ever since Eve wanted to take a bite of that forbidden fruit, ever since they wanted that forbidden knowledge, man has been in rebellion against God, trying to obtain godhood through some type of means or technology. These people out here, they want to make money. The love of money is the root of all evil. But there's more behind it. They want to obtain godhood. They want to try to be gods with technology so they don't have need of the Most High God. The Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Have you ever sat down and thought about the prince of the power of the air? Do you know we have airwaves in America that are sending out telephone signals, that are sending out radio waves, television is coming through, all of these things, the computer. Do you understand that that's all having to do with something going through the air? Do you know the Bible says Satan is ultimately in control of all of that? I know we try to use it for good, but have you ever noticed when you get your network TV that it ends up in sin? Have you ever noticed man gets this technology with movies and it ends up with a whole bunch of sin? Have you ever noticed every little invention man gets and we say, "Oh, how neat, how wonderful. Can you believe we're able to do this?" That somebody's over there using it for perversion, and then you get the statistics. Are you listening? And you find out that the majority of people are using it for perversion. That's scary, isn't it? You just think about that for your family for a minute. You think about that before you get your entertainment center. You think about that before you put that computer right there in the middle of your living room. You think about that before you end up with your children back there in their back room getting on the internet when you wouldn't let them go down here to a wicked, topless bar. You would faint before you would let them do it. But yet you let them sit back there in their bedroom on a stinking computer that can damn themselves, send their soul to hell, mess up their life, pervert their marriage for the next I don't know how many years when they get married. And you're going to do that to your children. I want to know what happened to the minds of this generation. I want to know what's wrong with people that you can't think. The Bible says in Romans 1, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. What man does is he gets out here, he gets his technology, and he invents something for his evil. Jesus said in these last days, The same days when perilous times shall come and men shall be disobedient to their parents. When you have raging waves of the sea and people's hearts fainting them as they look at the tsunamis and all of that coming. When there's earthquakes in diverse places and people getting afraid. In those days, Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of Son of Man be. That says a lot. It says there's going to be a lot of wickedness going on upon this earth. But you go back in the days of Noah and you realize there was a revival of technology in that Adamic world. There was an increase of technology. There was an enlightenment that was occurring. Look at Genesis 4. Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Those were the days of Noah, folks. Do you know what was happening in the days of Noah? Increase in technology. That was the days of Noah. Do you know what's happening now that Israel is a nation? And we have these weather problems? And we have this rebellion? And we have man wanting to once again recreate the Tower of Babel? You know what's happening? We're having an increase in technology. What did they do with that technology, folks? They used it for evil. They used it for divination. They used it to contact spirits. And pretty soon there were devils involved with mankind, yoking with mankind. Genesis 6, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Maybe a lot of the Greek gods came from these early creations that were created in those days. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his heart, of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. What was man doing with the technology? Whatever evil he could do. Whatever evil he could do, that's what he was doing. Let me show you the main sins that Jesus said will be in the last days when God once again will destroy the earth. This time by fire. Revelation chapter 9, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries. Do you know if you try to contact the dead, you're a necromancer? Do you know if you sit around and try to talk to your grandmother who's dead, you are an occult, devil-possessed person? You are playing with something you should not be playing with? You don't need to go to a graveyard and talk to your mama. You understand this? Listen to me. You don't need to go talk to somebody that's dead. Because you're not talking to anybody other than a devil. You understand that? And to try to talk to the dead is called necromancy. It's divination. It's sorcery. So sorcery will be around, which means men will be trying to manipulate nature for his own good through magic, through divination. He will be trying to contact the so-called dead. Nor their fornication. You know, the Bible says that they'll be filled with fornication all over the earth. And fornication is a pretty general word. It covers self-abuse. It covers sodomy. It covers what you normally think of as fornication. And I tell you what, fornication is all over this earth today. And finally, nor their thefts. I'm reminded of 2 Timothy 3, where Paul says in the last days that they will creep into houses and lead captive what kind of women? Silly women. That's not just a fun little word, folks. Silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Do you know there is an increase of women that are doing unseemly things with the computer like we've never ever seen in all of history that historians can remember? I mean, you have some wickedness going on with women. And when even their women go bad, you know that we're headed for a curse. We're headed for destruction. But something is creeping into houses. And then it says, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want you to think about that. Ever expanding technology. ever-expanding information age. But why can't you figure out how to dress? Why can't you figure out how to live right? Why can't you come to the knowledge of the truth? Why can't you figure out how to have a better family, have a better marriage? Or understand the gospel and how to be saved. But he goes on to say, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But listen to this now. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, I've tried to practice that throughout my whole ministry. I've tried to take philosophies back to their root source. It's been very helpful. It'll help you with discernment. If you try to take things back, you know, when people start preaching from the pulpit, well, you don't love yourself enough. You hate yourself enough. And then all of a sudden you trace that back and you hear Nietzsche through a devil-possessed Zarathustra saying, you hate yourself. You don't love yourself enough. You need self-esteem. Ooh, where did it come from? You see? You take this 12-step stuff and you trace it back and start finding the automatic writing that was involved in that. And you start tracing Freud and Jung back and find out that they were members of all types of psychic clubs and things like that. I tell you what, it'll open your eyes to where these philosophies come from. I think it's helpful to stop and take a look at the computer and say, where did this come from? Who invented it? Where did it come from? Maybe your eyes will be opened and just maybe you'll question whether it really will be valuable and edifying in your home. I know it can be. But let me tell you something. There was a time when there was hardly an illiterate person in all of America. And it was before any of this mess that we had today. What they were able to do is read. They learned how to read. They learned how to think. You're not going to improve. Your kids are not going to be better at math than any of these guys in the early days. You're not going to end up teaching them how to read any better than anybody else did. But what I have found over and over again, all your little bells and whistles and all your little computer stuff, your kids grow up to be a bunch of morons. You understand that? Why is that? Why is that? So I'm not very convinced that you can improve on something that's already shown that it works. If you've already created educated people by opening up books and reading them the old-fashioned way, I'm not impressed with the computer age. And the more I see children sit in front of videos and games and all that kind of stuff, I realize they can't sit down and read a book anymore. They can't think. There's something wrong with them. They're always bouncing around and feeling something and seeing something. And it just doesn't look right to me. So let's go back and study Charles Babbage, 1791 to 1871. Charles Babbage, Wikipedia, considered a father of the computer. Babbage is created with inventing the first mechanical computer. Okay? Primer Magazine, if you use a computer, you have Charles Babbage to thank. Velocity Guide, Charles Babbage is popularly acknowledged as the father of computing. AskTheComputerTech.com, the first mechanical computer was invented by a mathematics professor in Cambridge, England, named Charles Babbage. Charles is even considered by many people worldwide to be the father of the modern day computer because of his inventions of the mechanical computing engine. Alright, it's pretty important, I believe, if the Lord said, know of whom thou hast learned them. I think it's very important for us to look and see who gave us this information. Now, I will give a disclaimer for a moment. Some of the root technology was invented by not only Christians, but fundamental Christians. If you go and study Faraday, a King James Bible believing premillennial Christian that had so much in common with what we do today. I mean, they even went to church on Thursday and had lunch after church on Sunday. I mean, it was just a little strange. But that's where you got electricity from, as far as the modern understanding of some of the ways to harness it from. Morse was a great premillennial leader with the Morse code. And so a lot of the things that developed were from Christians opening their Bible and serving God. But you listen to me, there is some satanic inspiration involved in a lot of what we see today as well. And so I'm just going to give you the information and you do with it what you think. But I do want you to fear the Lord, and I want you to prepare yourself and arm yourself against what the devil's trying to do. All right, who's the father of the computer? Babbage. Let's go back from Charles Babbage's writings. That's what I say. See, if somebody tells me Charles Babbage is the father of computing, I want to obey 2 Timothy and find out. Let me see who this man was. Let me see what he said. Let me see what he believed. Passages from the life of a philosopher, 1864, Charles Babbage says this: I gathered all the information I could on the subject. He's talking about the devil. And I was soon informed that there was a particular process by which the devil might be raised and become personally visible. I carefully collected from traditions of different boys the visible forms in which the Prince of Darkness had been recorded to have appeared. After long thinking over the subject, although checked by a belief that the inquiry was wicked, my curiosity at length overbalanced my fears, and I resolved to attempt to raise the devil. Naughty people, I was told, had made written compacts with the devil and had signed them with their names written in their own blood. And they had become very rich and great men during their life, a fact which might be well known. But after death, they were described as having suffered and continuing to suffer physical torments throughout eternity, another fact to which, to my uninstructed mind, it seemed difficult to prove. Having closed the door, and I believe opened the window, I proceeded to cut my finger and draw a circle on the floor with the blood which flowed from the incision. I then placed myself in the center of the circle and either said or read the Lord's Prayer backwards. This I accomplished at first with some trepidation and in great fear toward the close of the scene. I then stood still in the center of that magic and superstitious circle, looking with intense anxiety in all directions, especially at the window and at the chimney. My uninstructed faculties led me from doubts of the existence of a devil to doubts of the book and the religion which asserted him to be a living being. Now, this man thinks that when he sat down, shed his blood, and did a satanic ritual, he says the devil didn't show up. And then all of a sudden he said, so I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in the Bible. And I believe that none of it's true. Hey, I think the devil did show up. But I don't think he manifests himself with horns and hoofs and a pitchfork. I think the devil showed up. And who knows, he might have even got possessed. 1865, the British Quarterly Review says the Ghost Club, the Lunatic Club, is what people called it. Doubts respecting the existence of a devil led to Mr. Babbage's doubts respecting the authenticity of the Bible. Sounds like the devil was involved in that. How about you? You say, how do you know the devil? Because when the devil came to Eve, he said, hath God said? Doubt the authenticity of the Bible. Then he said, thou shalt not surely die. So Mr. Babbage, here he is. He doesn't believe in the Bible. He doesn't believe in anything that he has to fear. Then when he says, nor will it astonish any reader to learn that when at Cambridge, Mr. Babbage and some of his college companions formed themselves into a ghost club and made it their duty to collect evidence on the subject of apparitions. If they heard of a phantom, these spiritual detectives speedily put themselves in pursuit. What was Babbage doing? Now, I believe this is before Westcott and Hort's ghost club that's also at Cambridge. But you need to understand that all of these new Bibles came from Westcott and Hort text. And Westcott and Hort had a ghost society where they sat around and performed seances. And when a medium was possessed and would begin to speak all of her myth, they would investigate it as they sat around the seances. Your new Bibles come from that wickedness. But this is Babbage having a ghost club as he sits around and performs seances, talks to spirits. And then guess what happened? He starts getting inspiration for a computer. And it starts coming to him. And he starts forming it out and thinking it. That ought to give you a little bit of fear when you begin to consider how the devil's using that technology today. I know it can be used for good. But you have to beware of how the devil intends to use it. And you have to beware, because if you do not get on guard about this subject, you're going to end up being destroyed by the devil. There was one more man that's called the father of the computer, and he picked up where Babbage left off. His name was Alan Turing. He died in 1954. He's called the father of computer science. He was a homosexual. He was an atheist. And he killed himself by cyanide in 1954. It's interesting that Apple Computer has a logo with what's traditionally, in fable, said to be the forbidden fruit. And they have a logo with a piece of that apple missing. That's not all. The apple is covered in the rainbow, which we know is a symbol of God's mercy and covenant with man, but has been used today in perversion by the homosexuals.
That's right.
What Apple did was flip the colors of the rainbow upside down and gave them in reverse order. So you have an apple with a piece missing, which is basically the pursuit of rebellious godhood. Then you have a backwards rainbow. And of course, they love to say, oh, we didn't mean anything by it. Oh, they're making too much money off of Christians. But there's something about that symbol. They said there's nothing that they've ever seen that has ever been used by a company that people wanted to get tattooed all over their body. But all around the world, people are taking that symbol of the Apple computer and are getting it tattooed. They're putting it on their car. They're putting it on their t-shirt and on their body itself. I think it's plain that anybody can see there is a satanic agenda going on here. And the devil loves to communicate in images and pictures, and everybody knows what it means. You could tell a bunch of gullible Christians, oh no, the guy who designed it said it was just an accident they stumbled on it. You can believe that nonsense if you want to. I wonder if you would walk around with an upside down cross on your shirt. Would you do that? Would you allow one in your house? But you'll allow Eve's apple? Glorified? I know it wasn't an apple, but they think it was. It's still a picture of man's antichrist rebellion. The ultimate picture of we are going to obtain godhood by our own technology. Let's fast forward to Thomas Edison, who died in 1931, inventor of the phonograph, the motion picture camera that I said was quickly used for perversion. It got so bad that the nudity and horrible violence and perversion got so bad that they had to come up with a code, and that drove all the perversion underground. And finally you ended up where lust didn't satisfy anymore. They had to mix it with violence. That was the 60s. And then finally that didn't satisfy anymore, so in the 70s they had to mix it with torture. People actually go and eat popcorn and watch people be tortured. Folks, where are we at now? 80s, 90s, 2011. Where are we at now? Where you're at is you've got a bunch of perverts running that street out there like you have never hardly seen on the face of the earth. Maybe in the days of Noah is about the only time. And they're after little kids. Thomas Edison, you've learned about Thomas Edison in public school, right? Oh yeah, you've had Thomas Edison stuffed down your throat. Thomas Edison, Thomas Edison. The man who wrote Natural Pet Healing, Our Psychic Spiritual Connection, says, you need to understand that a number of incredible, respected people have been members of the Theosophical Society through the years. They include American inventors such as Thomas Edison, and the man also that wrote the Wizard of Oz series of books. They're proud that Thomas Edison was a member of their Theosophy Club. Now, what was Theosophy? Theosophy was a satanic organization. Their magazine was Lucifer magazine. Blavatsky was a medium in touch with spirits. And Blavatsky basically cut her hair off and put britches on and basically said that I am in contact with spirits through automatic writing. And a lot of people started trying to get in touch with her and learn from her. And Thomas Edison became a disciple of Blavatsky. In Theosophy magazine of 1925, it says Thomas Edison is one of the early members of the parent Theosophical Society. You can see his actual card of a member of the Lucifer Society. You can see his Lucifer Club card. Go back to 1921, Francis Grierson, Psychophone Messages. It says the word psychophone was first suggested and used by Mr. Francis Grierson in a lecture I heard him deliver before the Toronto Theosophical Society in 1919, 1 year before Thomas Edison announced his intention of devising an instrument which he hopes will serve to establish intercourse between our world and the world of spirit. What was Thomas Edison working on before he died? He already got the phonograph. He said when he actually got a voice to play back, they just kind of jumped back and were afraid. But he would get this inspiration and get these ideas. And before you know it, he's putting pictures on camera, on film. And then he said, my last final dream is to get in touch with the spirit world. I'm going to have a machine that will actually trap spirits. Lucifer Magazine of 1890. Lucifer Magazine says one of the leading minds of the day is, beyond dispute, that of Thomas A. Edison, whose inventive powers have dispelled forever the secrets of the darkness. Edison will stand out prominently as one of the most remarkable products of evolution through repeated incarnations, and the present century has been blessed with. that the present century has been blessed with. According to our belief, these peerless gifts of his had their beginning in some former life. Edison never had more than 2 months of schooling, but he had training at home from a mother. Before he was 10 years of age, he had read several standard works of history and literature. It is said Edison dreams during sleep of his inventions. You've got some good things. Number one, that the man never went to public school. That the man was homeschooled. That the man was able to sit back and read at 10 and 11 and 12. He didn't have the motion picture mess that he invented to mess up his schooling, see. But nevertheless, there's something more going on here than just wit and intelligence. Napoleon Hill, who makes witchcraft popular, How to Win Friends and Influence Everybody, wrote a book in 1971, says you can work your own miracles. That sounds like you're a god, doesn't it? Mr. Edison discovered that when he concentrated his thoughts upon an idea he wished to perfect, he could tune in and pick up from the great reservoir of boundless ether thoughts related to that idea, which had been previously released by others who had thought along the same line. Mr. Edison believed that the energy with which we think is a projected portion of infinite intelligence. I mean, this is fruity stuff, crazy stuff. In 1878, Blavatsky the witch, Blavatsky, who is mentioned in the Harry Potter novels, and whose theories and religion is sold to all of these children today in this day and age. Blavatsky wrote a letter in 1878 to Edison and said, I would have been glad to have given you a little glimpse of what lies beyond the threshold of physical science. I have no doubt but that you will do very well. You are one of the few scientific experimenters to whom we would care to have on our master roll. Fraternally yours, Blavatsky. Madame Blavatsky hopes you will be able to dine with her on Thursday at 6 p.m. and will be pleased to explain to you something about the occult forces that you desire to know. To show you what Edison was working on before he died, in 1933, Modern Mechanics magazine says Edison's own secret spirit experiments. Here is described one of his amazing secret experiments whereby he sought to lure spirits beyond the grave and trap them with supersensitive instruments. In 1920, Edison gathered a small group of scientists in his laboratory to witness his secret attempts to lure spirits. When the experiment was ready to begin, the spiritualists in the group of witnesses were called upon to summon from eternity the ethereal form of one or two of its inhabitants to walk across the beam. I've opened up a little bit of the door here where you can see that there's been some very, very dark satanic men involved in devil possession, involved in the occult, involved in the direct worship of Lucifer, involved in trying to seek Lucifer. And because they later supposedly became atheist or didn't believe the Bible, you think the devil cares? His whole point is for you not to fear God, so you'll go experiment with the occult. Now, I'd like to have you think about something for a moment. You got this video, you've got the computer, and you think we're so blessed in our generation. ...87% of university students polled have used webcams and such like for wickedness that's unmentionable from the pulpit. 87%. You like your technology? God said nothing will be restrained from them which they've imagined to do. So God tried to limit man getting satanic inspiration to go hurt himself more. You just have more ways to destroy your family than any other generation has ever had. By the end of 2004, there were 420 million pages of pornography on the internet by less than 50 companies. 420 million pornography websites That's 2004. In 2006, the internet pornography with your computer, video, Thomas Edison meets Babbage. And we now have a $12 billion, I didn't say million, I said billion dollar annual revenue. That's in 2006. The largest group of viewers of internet filth is children between ages 12 and 17. The folks that will be marrying your daughters and your sons. God forbid. I hope it's not found in your home. I hope you've done everything you can. That if you choose to try to use this technology for good, I do pray that you'll have enough sense and enough boldness and enough manliness to make absolutely sure that your own soul and your wife and your children are absolutely protected. In 2005, 71.9 million people in that 1 year had visited lewd sites, which they said was almost half of everybody that searched the internet. In 2005, half of the people that searched the internet visited lewd, wicked sites. Now, child pornography has become a $3 billion annual industry. Every second, 30,000 people are viewing filth on the internet. Every second. Every second, another 30,000. Every second, another 30,000 people. God looked down and He said, sorcery, fornication. As in the days of Noah. He only found Noah and his family perfect. The whole rest of the world had defiled themselves. One in three of those 30,000 every second that are viewing filth are women. And none of this even deals with the email. Email is the secret way for you to be a pervert. You didn't ask for it to come across your screen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're able to look at that filth, then you're in great bondage. You understand that? If you don't have it set up where that stuff automatically is deleted, then I would get off of email. You understand that? Because I know what you are doing. You are sitting here in your life living a double life. You understand that? You are a hypocrite. You're a vexed hypocrite. But you don't want to get rid of your email because you think you can sin and not have to feel guilty because you didn't ask for it. I wonder if God will buy the game. Y'all listening? 2.5 billion emails every day are lewd. Beyond mentionable. 2.5 every day. You know what the most popular day for it is? Sunday. Sunday. Sunday is the most popular pornographic day. The average age for the first pornography on the internet is age 11. I got one verse for you. Matthew 18, verse 6. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. The Lord says the punishment that you're going to have at the judgment seat of Christ, take the most grueling physical death that can be imagined upon this earth, and you're going to have worse. Say, Lord, what did I do? You allowed your children to have a stumbling block. You allowed your children to get addicted and cursed. And you did not believe the verse that says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You didn't believe it. You forgot in the Bible a child is under 20. You forgot in the Bible that God said He's not mocked. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. He said, I can trust my children. How big of a fool are you? I've got pretty good children. I hope you're getting ready to go to hell. Are you listening? I don't know if I can put the fear of God in you or not, but I hope God's Spirit will put the fear of God in you. And I hope you'll realize you've been warned. And what I'm telling you right now is you need to get the stinking computer away from your children. You need to get it away from you unless you are sure that you can control it. Dear Lord, I do pray in the name of Jesus Christ that folks will understand the wickedness that's in this world. We've tried to preach it in a seemly manner, Lord, while at the same time letting the truth be known. Lord, I know that fools will make a mock at sin and they'll laugh about all of this and they'll think it's no big deal, Lord, but we know the whole world's racing to hell. They're killing little babies in the womb. What wickedness, Lord, is soon to come upon America. They're wondering why there's pedophiles everywhere, left and right, but nobody will stop and admit what we're doing to ourselves. The wicked movies that people watch, dear Lord, vexing themselves daily. God, I pray there'll be some people here that'd be willing to pluck their eye out, cut their hand off, do whatever it takes, Lord, to obtain Thy kingdom. We know salvation is by grace through faith alone. We thank You, Lord, for eternal salvation that can never be lost. But we know there's a terrible judgment for Christians coming if we will not live right. And Lord, You said to make not provision for the flesh. You said to do whatever we can. And Lord, I know there's a lot of things we can get rid of before we have to get rid of our eyes, Lord. Help this church be motivated to get serious about these gadgets that allow pornography to come into their hearts and homes. Please, Lord, please move upon this church to wake up. In the name of Jesus, amen.